Good morning. This morning's scripture reading is from John chapter 17, verses 1 through 3, found on page 1070. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those who have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." May the Lord add his blessing to his reading as well.
At this point in the service, I usually ask everyone to take out their sermon outline and something to write with as I share the message. Over the last day or so, I've really been struggling about what to share during the sermon time. As Ted was sharing already, the church family has lost a dear sister in Christ, Mary Fong, this past Friday evening. And, you know, those who've been around the church for a while, you know how special Mary has been to this church, but also her entire family. And I think it was 4 weeks ago, Mary was here at church, as she always is, with her sister Lila. And the Friday after that, she suffered a massive stroke and then never regained consciousness. And so it's been difficult, and I had the opportunity of seeing her and the family a number of times when she was in ICU at the hospital, and then I was on vacation and came back and saw her a number of times, especially this past week over at the nursing home. And I think there was an understanding that her time here on earth might be coming to a close, but it's still just very difficult. And so that was Friday evening. And so I was with Mary's five children, adult children, there at the nursing home Friday evening. And it was a hard time, but I think it was a very special time. And I just really considered it a real privilege and a blessing as the pastor to be with them during that time. Then last night, my own father-in-law, who's 92, had a medical emergency, and so spent most of the night at South Sac Kaiser, and I only had about, 2 or 3 hours of sleep last night. So it's been obviously a very difficult weekend, emotionally, physically, and so I struggled about, I have this sermon prepared, but I was concerned about when I'm really exhausted emotionally and physically, sometimes I end up saying something that I don't really mean to say, and so I'm a little hesitant about sharing that message. So I think I'm going to hold off on that sermon until next Sunday. But for today, I would like to share some thoughts, because all of us are going to go through times when we lose a loved one, and especially if they're a believer. Not sure, how to respond. And I know over the last 3 weeks, sometimes well-meaning Christians focus in on the truth, which is absolutely true, that Mary is in a better place. She's with the Lord. She's in his presence. But what about, everybody left here on earth? And I think this passage that some of you are familiar with, others perhaps not, but if you don't have your Bibles with you, you could turn to the Brown Pew Bible, to page 1171. Page 1171, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting at verse 13. Excuse me. 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning in verse 13. So in the Brown Pew Bible, it's on page 1171. Okay, and let me just read this passage from verse 13 through verse 18. "Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep." That's referring to Christians, believers, who end their physical lives here on earth. And this is just the Bible way of talking about those individuals. They fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. And you notice again, God's instruction to us as Christians, when we lose a loved one who is a believer, it does not say we should not grieve. And there are well-meaning Christians even today who sometimes will say things like, oh, you shouldn't be sad, you know, you shouldn't cry because they're with the Lord, they're in heaven, they're in a much better place, we should just rejoice. And, you know, there's no question that that's accurate and true biblically, but again, it's very important to note that in this verse, it does not say we should not grieve. It just says we don't grieve like those who have no hope. Because for unbelievers who lose a loved one and they don't know, you know, where they are or what's going to happen or if they'll ever see them again, that kind of grieving is extremely painful because they don't have any hope. You know, they don't know what's going on, what's happening. But for believers, we have a hope. We know we'll see Mary again. If we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, we will see Mary again. We'll be reunited with every Christian who's passed away physically in the last 2,000 years. We'll be together in heaven. We have that hope. We have that certainty. However, it doesn't mean that we don't grieve. You know, I just heard somebody share this just this past week. And again, the person was well-meaning, and I was just sharing in a group of Christians about, you know, just feeling sad that Mary is approaching the end. And they were like, oh, yeah, but they're going to be with, she's going to be with Jesus. And I'm like, you know, I've been to seminary, and I think I've studied the Bible pretty carefully for many, many years. I understand all those spiritual truths. But we're hurting, and certainly her family, there is grief because we miss her. And we'll be united again, but for now, it is perfectly valid, normal, healthy to grieve. And those who've lost loved ones this past year and recent years, you understand that. And if you please don't ever feel like, oh, you know, you should just get over it. You should be rejoicing because they're in heaven. There's a sadness, and that's totally legitimate and valid. I've shared with this congregation, you know, over the last 7 years I've been here. You know, I've been in ministry for over 36 years, and so I know sometimes people think, well, you've been in ministry 36 years, you've done so many funerals. Why do you still get so choked up? You know, why is it still something that hits you so hard? And I've tried to explain to the congregation that, you know, even in my own experience here, 2009 was my first year here. We didn't lose anybody in the congregation. No regular attenders passed away in 2009. 2010, first it was Jack Leong, then it was Ted's father, Dr. William Fong, and since then, about 10 different brothers and sisters who are regular attenders here have gone home to be with the Lord. And when it hit me, it's sort of like, okay, yeah, I've been in ministry 30 years. Why does it hit me so hard? Because I realized in the first 30 years of my ministry, even though I've done 50 or 60 funerals, only one of them involved somebody who was a regular attender of the church I was serving at. Only one out of 50 or 60. Because the congregations, many of us who are English-speaking Asians serve in many Chinese churches, many of the English congregations don't have seniors. They have like middle-aged folks and younger. And so all the funerals that I did were like parents or grandparents or relatives of people in the church family. But to have people who are regular, faithful, involved, people that you build relationships with, to see them one by one going home to be with the Lord, that's really sort of built up over the years. And yeah, I do get choked up. And, you know, the last 3 weeks, you know, I mean, as I shared, it was about 5 or 6 weeks ago, the first week in January when, you know, Michael shared with me confidentially about what was going on with his mom, you know, with the leukemia. And that was hard to hear. That was really hard, as it was for many of you. Praise God she's doing better. Praise God that she's at home now. She's still got 6 or 7 months of treatments ahead of her, but things are looking up, and that's a real praise. But this is just something I want to share with all of you because, you know, if you've been around this church a while, you've heard testimonies about how God blesses this church in so many ways, how, you know, the congregation is so loving and accepting. And I hope you never grow tired of that because I'll tell you, it is something very special. When Mary had her stroke, you know, and Marilee found out about it, Marilee called me at home. She called me. I think she was still in the hospital. She was in the hospital. And she called me. And you know what she wanted to tell me? She said she heard about Mary, and she's obviously very concerned, as everybody else is. But she wanted me to know that Marilee was she was doing better and that I didn't have to worry so much about her. I thought, I meet a lot of pastors. I know a lot of pastors. I don't think any minister has ever gotten a call like that. From somebody who has cancer, who's in the hospital, and they're calling the pastor because they're concerned about how the pastor's doing with everything else going on in the church. I don't think any other minister has ever gotten a call like that. And I thought, wow. What an incredible church. What an incredible church family. You got people who have that much love and concern for one another, and they're concerned about me as well. And I know some of you, you know, that over the last 6-7 years, as we've lost a number of brothers and sisters in Christ, how difficult it's been for all of us. But it does weigh heavily on my heart because, like I said, it's a new experience having people who are part of the church family go home to be with the Lord. The rest of this passage, though, let's look back at this 1 Thessalonians 4, starting in verse 13 again. God doesn't want us to be ignorant about those believers who have ended their physical lives here on earth. We don't have to grieve like the rest of people who have no hope. Verse 14, we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. Every believer since the resurrection of Christ, these past couple of thousand years, when they die physically, their physical remains are here on earth, but their spirit goes immediately to be in the presence of God. Well, when Jesus comes back, and he's coming back, and we don't know when. He could come back today. He may not come back for another 1,000 years. But when he comes back, he's going to bring with him all those spirits of the believers for the last couple of thousand, ever since he was resurrected himself. So he's going to bring with him all those who've fallen asleep in him. Verse 15, according to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Now you say, well, the dead in Christ will rise first. I thought they were already with the Lord. They're spiritual with the Lord. Their physical remains are here on earth. And though they may be scattered far and wide, God is going to miraculously combine the spirits with the physical elements, and they're going to form. God's going to form new resurrection bodies. So this is what's going to happen, and some of you have heard the term before, the rapture, and that's going to happen. It's imminent. It could happen today. It may not happen for another 1,000 years, but it will happen at some point. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together. And the original language, the word caught up, that's where we get the word rapture from. Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Verse 18, therefore encourage each other with these words. So God gives us a context. Why does he gives us this whole passage? Why does he tell us all these truths about what's going to happen when Jesus comes back? Because he wants us to be encouraged. And some of you may recall, I've mentioned this word before in the original language. Encourage is a beautiful word in the original Greek because it's actually a combination word. It's two other words put together. It's a compound word. One word means it's a verb to call somebody like, hey. And then the other one's a little preposition, alongside of. And so God is calling alongside of us for encouragement. That's why the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter, the Encourager. That's the same Greek word. He's called alongside of us. And we are called alongside of one another. We're told to encourage one another. And that's why we gather. That's why it's so important. And I know some folks, maybe, you know, they're still struggling to kind of get this as a priority. Why is it important we come to church on Sundays? Well, we worship God, certainly. But another reason why we gather on Sundays is to encourage one another. And so God wants us to be encouraged by telling us these things, these truths in 1 Thessalonians 4. I was debating about whether to share this with you today or possibly at some later point. Some of you may not be able to attend Mary's funeral service, which is going to be on Thursday, February 25th. I think that's a week from this coming Thursday, the 25th, 11 a.m. at Nauman's on Freeport near Sutterville. And I think the wake or the visiting time with the family is the night before from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. Some of you may not be able to make it, but I don't know. You know, I'm just have to discuss with the family all the details about the service, but this is something I probably will share at least part of this during the service. This is a letter I wrote to Mary because the night before I left for vacation, it was Wednesday, January 27th, and she was still at ICU in the hospital. And so I talked to Tom and Matt and Dan and said, you know, I'm leaving for 8 days, and I'd like to, you know, come see your mom and all of you. And I told him, I said, I prepared a letter that I'd like to read to your mom and for all of you, because she was in a coma, and you don't know if she can hear or understand anything, but I just felt like I'd really like to share this. So I'm just going to read it, okay? This is what I said. Mary, I don't know if you can hear me or understand me, but I would like to share a word of appreciation for you and praise to our Lord. I thank God for you, Mary. Your faithful and sacrificial love for your physical and spiritual families have been such a blessing. I know these words of appreciation reflect how all of us feel about you. Mary, it's been an incredible joy and privilege to serve as your pastor these past 7 years. You probably had no idea how much your you probably had no idea how much your faithful presence and participation at church were used by God to encourage and bless me. You always had a smile on your face and a positive, encouraging word for me and for others. Your loving devotion for your children and all their families have borne much fruit to the glory of God. There were so many Sundays when I would almost be moved to tears when I witnessed and thought about your incredible legacy of love and devotion. Your children and their families share the love they experienced from you. Thank you, Mary, for living out so consistently our church vision statement, to better experience and share God's love. That is exactly what you were doing long before it became our church vision statement. Thank you for sharing God's love with all of us. And then what I'm saying here is just sort of more of a personal bit of humor that I had with Mary and her sister Lila for a number of years now. Mary, Lord willing, you will be able to return to church as soon as possible. It would be great to see you and Lila wearing your matching black leather jackets one more time. I'm leaving tomorrow for an 8-day vacation, but I plan to see you again when I return. Thank God for all your loving family who are here with you always. You and your loved ones will continue to be in my prayers. And that night, it was just Matt, Tom, and Dan, and myself with their mom. I know it's relatively early, but I'm going to close in prayer, and then we're going to move on with the rest of the service, and then a little bit later we'll have our usual sharing of praises and prayer requests. So let's just pray together. Our Father God, we thank you so much for your incredible love and your grace and your mercy. Thank you for how you bless us in so many different ways. I thank you for this church family. I thank you for each person who's a part of it. And Father God, how much we miss our dear sister Mary. We know that she's with you. And we know that when she came into your presence this past Friday, she heard the words from our Lord himself, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Thank you for her incredible life and legacy that continues to live on through her children and grandchildren and all that knew her. And Father, thank you again that we can lift up before you, especially her family and all who miss her so much. We pray that they might experience your comfort and your encouragement. And Father, may all of us just be challenged when we think of the kind of life and the kind of love that Mary had for so many, that we would be challenged and spurred on in our own walk with you and how we live our lives with that kind of love and that kind of focus that brings you honor and glory and impacts people around us. And so, Father, we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.